This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Visitation is going on at this hour in Oak Creek for the victims of Sunday's shootings at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. Six temple goers were killed in shootings by Wade Michael Page of Cudahy before Page reportedly killed himself. The tragic shootings have, of course, caused immense grief and sadness among people of all faiths, but they've also led many to talk about how the gaps between faiths can be better bridged. One organization that was already working on that issue is the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, which has organized events ranging from discussion sessions to intimate interfaith dinner gatherings at people's homes. Tom Heinen is executive director of the Interfaith Conference, and Jamie Washam is vice chair of the executive committee and pastor at Underwood Memorial Baptist Church in Wauwatosa. Heinen told Lake Effect's James Gutierrez how he believes the work should get started.
The most fundamental starting point is a face-to-face communication where you just sit down and talk like real people, sharing your thoughts, sharing your lives. The challenge is to find the context in which you can do that. I think it starts out pretty casually, where if you have a neighbor of a different ethnic background or religious background, you know, you exchange pleasantries and you may have some common social gatherings. But we strive to take it deeper than that, and we try to intentionally cause conversations that enable people to really talk about what they believe, how they feel. And it's done in a number of ways. We have dialogues that are set up, presentations that might explain certain concepts of different faiths. It might be the Abrahamic faiths, the three faiths that trace their roots back to Father Abraham, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. It might be a presentation at the Hindu temple, which we did in June of this year, where we had a Hindu speaker talk about Hinduism, and we had people of other faiths respond and give their perspectives on what it means to dialogue. And the title of that was Interreligious Dialogue of Friendship. And that's what it comes down to. And we have other means of doing this that we're exploring, the amazing faith dinners where 8 to 10 people gather in a private home to break bread, share a simple meal, and then have a conversation about their lived faith, not what their denominations or faiths teach. How do they experience it and live it? And there's a whole methodology for that.
What I'm interested in knowing is, what will drive us together as a community short of a catastrophe or disaster? What would compel us in a positive way toward one another without waiting for something like this to happen? I mean, what was clear to me was that on August 5th, every place of worship was violated. I immediately had a phone call from one of my church members who said, you know, did you hear this happened? And that could have been us. And she saw immediately in the Sikh community, sisters and brothers, what's to stop that from happening in any one of our holy places? And that's a fair question. And I think that we have to begin to make those connections before something like this happens so that we already have a foundation to come together. And I think these dinners, because there's nothing more intimate than inviting someone into your home where conversations will take place that wouldn't elsewhere. You see someone's photographs or an interesting artifact, and you'll just have a different ease and intimacy. And I think in most of our traditions, there's something sacred about eating and recognizing that food is what sustains life. And when we receive that together, something more powerful can happen than just feeding your belly.
Well, it's the intimacy of a home setting that is much warmer, much more personal than an institutional setting, you know, meeting in the basement of a temple, a mosque, a church. It's just much better. And with these dinners, we've done 5 pilot ones. We'd like to expand it. You try to get people that don't know each other, and you try to get people of different faiths. And you sit there and you talk. It's a model developed in Houston. You pull a card and it asks you a question. It doesn't say, what does the Catholic Church teach about salvation or other faiths and denominations, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Baptists, the Lutherans, whatever. It'll say, what's your experience of forgiveness and the teachings you have heard from your faith tradition and how you've lived it? Or some faith traditions believe there's a higher power that has a plan for each of us. Is that your belief? If so, what do you think it is? People just speak from the heart, and it's pretty amazing. At the end of the first dinner in our home, a pilot dinner, the people there of different faiths and backgrounds, most of whom didn't know each other, said, you know, we know the people at this table better than we know our own neighbors now, and we want to do more of this.
And we recognize that that, in an ideal world, would happen spontaneously, but it doesn't.
So you bring all these people together. The challenge would be also keeping things sensitive, respectful of the different faith-based groups that you have there, both with prayer, other traditions. How do you go about that and keeping things just open?
I think that anyone who says that they would like to participate in this, there's a bit of self-selection. It's not as though we've gone to everyone in the county and insisted that they come and have dinner with people they don't know. This is a self-selected group. So by and large, our experience has been people have a willingness to be respectful towards one another. And if gaffes are made, it is usually not intentional, and people are able to work through that in a way honoring the larger picture of trying to come together and trying to understand one another and to explain in graceful ways why something may have been offensive or why a preferred other language or something to that effect would have been preferred. And I think that people who come to these tend to be willing to learn, and they're not coming in trying to convert. That's one of the tenets of these amazing faith dinners, is that you're not trying to go there and have everyone come back and be a member of your community. It's recognizing that you're meeting one another where you are, and we're just trying to figure out where that is.
And there is a trained facilitator who kind of keeps the conversation flowing, who doesn't let anyone dominate. And a key part of these is that you speak for 4 to 5 minutes when you get your question. Someone else gets a different question. And everyone has to listen without asking a question or interjecting their comment. And in our society, to just sit and listen and absorb can be challenging for some people.
The tragedy that occurred August 5th at the Sikh temple, it was a clear display of someone being closed off to the conversation that's happening right now. What are the commonalities that people have that bridges both faith, that bridges non-believers to believers, neighbors to new neighbors?
Clearly, we're all human. For each of the 7 people who died on this past Sunday, someone loved them. And of the Sikh members, of the Sikh folks who died, I heard each one of them had children and many had grandchildren. I mean, we all come from families, and even the man who perpetrated this violence has a family. I was really moved on Tuesday evening at the vigil. One of the local members of the Sikh community, a brother, said he was the only one who named that 7 people were killed that day. And in their tradition, they believe in reincarnation. And he said, I hope his next life is better and that he doesn't repeat this and that he is born again into this community. I thought, what a profound blessing and profession of grace.
The police chief from Oak Creek also said that in his many years of law enforcement, he's covered many crimes. He's seen a lot of hate. He's seen a lot of violence. And he's seen a lot of people seeking vengeance. And what struck him profoundly with the Sikh community was that they were not seeking vengeance. They were compassionate. And he told the crowd of hundreds of people assembled there for that vigil, that evening vigil with candles burning, that you have to appreciate this. This is unique. You need to get to know these people better because they really have something to offer to us.
Thinking of Oak Creek, understanding Milwaukee and the suburbs of Milwaukee, and you have I'm in the Oak Creek community. It's a fairly homogeneous community, and there's this completely different group. Religious, culturally, just things that I'm just not used to. It may seem too simplistic, but how does someone even say hi? What if someone has no faith alliance? How do you encourage that with them? And just speaking purely off the benefits of understanding or being open to meet other people, how do you stimulate that?
I think you have to step outside of your comfort zone. And we can recognize that the Gurdwara has opened its doors to any and all faiths before this ever happened. And still, the Islamic Society of Milwaukee annually opens its doors to the wider community to give people tours of their facility led by women and men in their community. And then they feed everyone with this amazing, sumptuous feast. And that's an open invitation to the community every year. And I think that we see these gracious overtures by members of minority communities, but I think people in the majority need to remember that you once were the Poles or the Irish or the Italian or the Somalis. We all are coming from a different place. And so whose obligation? As someone who's been here longer, shouldn't you also be opening your doors, not just expecting someone else to do that work for you? And not to be afraid of someone else. Like, what's the worst that could happen? If you approach someone, you're no worse off than you were if they don't return your greeting. You really only stand to gain.
Working with different groups, by the nature of the organization, you put yourself out there to meet different cultures, different religions. Can you speak on how diverse Milwaukee is? How good are we at communicating with each other? What can we improve on?
Clearly, Milwaukee is a city of immigrants, but we live in towns and in streets and cities whose names reflect the native roots. What is Potawatomi, Wauwatosa, Milwaukee, Waukesha? I mean, most of us don't speak those languages now if we're not part of an indigenous community. So we've all come from somewhere, and even where we live now reflects who was here before us. We don't always do a very good job of getting out of our block or our enclaves or our neighborhoods.
We have become increasingly diverse, as has the rest of the country. Change in the immigration laws in the mid-1960s opened our doors to many different groups of people beyond simply Europe in greater numbers than before. And so in Milwaukee, you see a Sikh temple in Oak Creek and a Sikh temple in Brookfield and a Hindu temple in Pewaukee and a mosque now being constructed in Brookfield, a Muslim mosque. We've had a long-standing Jewish presence in the community, and they have grown and expanded into from the city into a number of the suburbs. And it goes on. The Buddhists have a number of sanghas here of different regional ethnic backgrounds, Laotian, Vietnamese, others.
But I think it's important to say that just because we're all here doesn't mean we all talk to each other. And so what does it take for us to see a Hmong child or a Puerto Rican child and say, yeah, that's my child? We have to be able to take that next step and make those connections that when we do, and certain places, it's certainly happening. I mean, you can go to Amaranth Bakery and see people from around the world and around the neighborhood working a garden plot there and working in the kitchen and coming together over music and food and growing plant life. So it happens in these small places, but I think we have to expand on that and to recognize that just because we all exist in the same city doesn't mean we intermingle and that we know one another. And I think that that's the work that we have ahead of us, and that's what we have to begin to live into.
The challenge is the diversity and the opportunity. I mean, we certainly have a long way to go to develop better understanding, closer relationships. People in this country in general are religiously illiterate. It's vital for the health of our own community for us to get to know each other better and to show that we can live in peace and respect and find those very strong common human bonds. And it's vital for our understanding of international issues and how we make our decisions politically.
As long as we're ignorant of our own faiths or of one another, that breeds fear. We tend to have contempt for what we're afraid of. I mean, saying I hate you is a grown-up way of saying I'm scared. And so when we know one another, and textbook knowledge is one thing, but human relationship is something entirely other. And when you can remember the taste of the baklava from Layla's table, well, you're going to have a whole different understanding of that. And when she has had my black-eyed peas, which I must say are pretty good, you know, we're going to have a different way of thinking about one another and where we come from and where we go from there. I heard someone say on Tuesday in the Sikh faith, they have some tenets that they remember, which are fear none and frighten none. So what would it take for us to not live in fear of one another and not to perpetuate fearsome actions in our own person upon other people?
And it's fear of the other. You have to meet the other to realize that the other is not that different from you.
And you are that other.
And you are to them. We all are someone's other. We're seeking those opportunities, whether it's a dinner, whether it's a presentation with dialogue and a sharing of food afterwards. There are opportunities to connect, and the opportunities go beyond religion. We're talking culture and race and socioeconomic barriers that break down when people get together, and you realize you have a lot more in common, whether we're talking to a Hispanic immigrant, whether we're talking to an immigrant from India who happens to be Sikh or happens to be Hindu, or we're talking to someone who grew up, they're third generation here and they're one of the mainline Protestant denominations. They have a lot of common ground and no need to fear each other.
I appreciate the conversation illuminating, and I hope that it has the same effect on our city.
So, your lips to God's ears.
Reverend Jamie, Tom, thank you guys very much for coming on Lake Effect today.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, James.
The Reverend Jamie Washam is pastor at Underwood Memorial Baptist Church in Wauwatosa and vice chair of the executive committee at the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. Tom Heinen is executive director of the Interfaith Conference and a former religion writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They spoke with Lake Effect's James Gutierrez. As we noted, visitation is underway in advance of today's funeral services for the victims in last Sunday's temple shootings. After a break, we will hear from the sons of the temple president who died that morning. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.